was a red velvet-lined interior that was divided into 8 different sections. In each section was a vial. Not the pinky-sized vials he was used to seeing that held a single dose of a potion. These instead looked like those bottles of ketchup you sometimes got with room service at fancy hotels. The only differences were that these bottles were square, so as to nestle snugly in their compartments. Each top was a rubber nipple connected to a dropper which extended down into its bottle. As he continued to examine the contents of the box, he realized the red vial attached to the string was not just a potion. It had a mechanism beneath it. You have found incendiary trap. Damage 10 to 12. Durability 15 of 15. Potion class uncommon. Item class common. Quality average. Weight 0.2 kilograms. Traits. This will create an explosion of flames. Can cause burn status. The other vials were all potions. You have found poison antidote. Potion class uncommon. Potion level solution. Strength processed. Weight 0.1 kilograms. Traits. Will cure most poisons of processed strength, infusion level and below. Doses 5 of 5. You have found drowned one poison. Potion class uncommon. Potion level solution. Strength processed. Weight 0.1 kilograms. Traits. Causes 33 to 41 points of water magic damage for 5 seconds. Can cause slow. Doses 5 of 5. You have found salamander extract. Potion class uncommon. Potion level solution. Strength processed. Weight 0.2 kilograms. Traits. Causes 32 to 39 points of fire damage for 6 seconds. There is a chance that the target's blood may boil, dealing extra damage and lowering constitution. Doses 5 of 5. You have found corrupt leech venom. Potion class uncommon. Potion level tincture. Strength enhanced. Weight 0.1 kilograms. Traits. Causes 14 to 18 points of death magic, 40%, and poison damage, 60%. For 4 seconds. Doses 4 of 5. You have found Potion of Healing. Potion class common. Potion level tincture. Strength enhanced. Weight 0.1 kilograms. Traits. Heals 94 health over 103 seconds. Doses 3 of 5. You have found Potion of Healing. Potion class uncommon. Potion level elixir. Strength processed. Weight 0.1 kilograms. Traits. Heals 286 health over 22 seconds. Doses 4 of 5. You have found Feline Grace. Potion class unusual. Potion level solution. Strength basic. Weight 0.1 kilograms. Traits. Increases agility by plus 7 for 12 minutes. Doses 5 of 5. Richter's eyes widened as he examined each successive vial. These were no weak health potions. Every one of these was either a potent weapon or an amazingly effective healing draft. If he hadn't enraged the assassin by killing her wasp, then she might have taken the time to coat her blades in poison. If that was the case, then it would most likely have been him and not her that was lying cold on the ground. She would have been able to take his manhood for the second time in 2 days. That made him think about the small knife she had taunted him with. He searched quickly, but couldn't find it. The blade must have been lost in the river, or left at the site of their fight. Perhaps it was better off that way. He certainly didn't need any more reminders of the traumatic experience. He took a close look at the woman's armor. It all appeared to be a matching set of black leather wraps. You have found Ouroboros Assassin Cowl. Defense plus 2, max plus 3. Durability 9 of 20. Item class uncommon. Quality, well crafted. Weight, 0.5 kilograms. Traits, provides dark vision for 15 feet. You have found Ouroboros chest plate, defense plus 9, durability 21 of 25, item class uncommon, quality well crafted, weight 3.2 kilograms. Traits, increases stealth by 10%. You have found Ouroboros arm wraps, defense plus 6, durability 20 of 20, item class uncommon. Quality, well crafted. Weight, 1.1 kilograms. Traits, increases attack speed by 8%. You have found Ouroboros fighting gloves. Defense plus 3. Durability, 15 of 15. Item class, uncommon. Quality, well-crafted. Weight, 0.5 kilograms. Traits, increases unarmed attack damage by 15%. You have found Ouroboros Fleet Leggings. Defense, plus 4. Durability, 20 of 20. Item class, uncommon. Quality, well-crafted. Weight, 0.8 kilograms. Traits, increases movement speed by 12%. You have found Ouroboros Moccasins. Defense, plus 3. Durability, 14 of 14. Item class, uncommon. Quality, well-crafted. Weight, 0.5 kilograms. Traits, movement is 50% more quiet. Congratulations! You have obtained an entire set of matched armor. Lesser Ouroboros Assassin Armor. Defense given by each piece increased by 25%. Special bonus, critical strike damage increased by 20%. None of the black leather armor was stronger than his current armor, but it also wasn't anything to sneeze at. Used in the right way, the extra critical strike damage could be absolutely deadly. Every piece was extremely lightweight, but also extremely durable. Most of the armor was actually a series of wraps that could easily be adjusted to a larger frame. The bonus in critical damage would especially be useful for him. His critical damage had been decreased since being granted the honorable quality after saving Tarad's friend Jason in the sewers under law. Still, he wasn't inclined to trade in his enhanced sprite armor. He put the Ouroboros Assassin armor into his bag. Who knew when such things might come in handy? She wasn't wearing any bracelets, unfortunately, but she was wearing several rings. At first, they just showed Richter the frustratingly generic magic prompt that came up when he found a new magic item. His new lore skill came to bear, however, and proved that his time reading the book of magic he bought from Leandra had not been in vain. 3 of the 5 rings revealed their secrets. You have found Ring of Spell Storage. Durability, 10 of 10. Item class, uncommon. Quality, average. Weight, 0.01 kilograms. Traits. Holds one spell that can be cast upon activating the ring. This ring can hold one novice-level spell. The spell will only last one day before degrading. Spell equipped? None. You have found Ring of Poison Resistance. Durability, 12 of 12. Item class, common. Quality, above average. Weight, 0.01 kilograms. Traits, plus 3% poison resistance. You have found Ring of Health. Durability, 16 of 16. Item class, common. Quality, superb. Weight, 0.01 kilograms. Traits, plus 43 health. The Ring of Health was a definite plus. The poison resistance could come in handy too, but the Ring of Spell Storage was absolutely fascinating. Richter had heard of rings like this when he played the game, but had never seen one. He sent a mental signal to Futin and decided to test the ring while he waited. The ring was a band of black metal with intricate glyphs covering the inner loop. A single gray opaque stone was set into the band. Richter focused on the ring, but nothing happened. He tried pressing on the stone, but there was no movement to indicate it was a button or a switch. Turning it around his finger was also fruitless. Richter decided to invoke a spell. Casting Ice Dagger, a foot-long projectile of blue ice shot into the forest. The ring remained the same, though, and examining it showed that there was still no spell equipped. When he cast the spell he had thought, he'd felt the ring tingle slightly, though. He cast Ice Dagger again, this time focusing on the ring. There was a definite tingle. Remembering an old conversation with his shipwright, Shiavanna, he slowly summoned the magic to cast Ice Dagger again, but did not invoke the spell. His hands developed the cold feeling he always felt for a split second before the ice shot from his hands. Focusing on the ring, this time brought up a prompt. Do you wish to store Ice Dagger in your Ring of Spell Storage, yes or no? Excited, Richter chose yes. His mana bar dropped by 20 points, and the cold feeling disappeared from his palm. Focusing on the ring again, he had a feeling that he could will the spell to be released. The ring's description now showed, spell equipped, Ice Dagger. Even more interesting, the gray stone was now a glacial blue-white in color. He extended his fist like Green Lantern and willed the spell to be unleashed. Immediately, a foot-long blue ice bolt shot into a fallen log not too far away and stuck there, quivering. That particular log was where Alma was sunning herself. His familiar shot into the air with a hiss, and then she looked at him with her eyes half-lidded. He was suddenly glad that he didn't know any lightning spells yet. If he did, she might have zapped the hell out of him. He could just hear his mother's voice. "Don't push buttons when you don't know what they do! That's how they drop the atomic bomb!" Richter shook his head, annoyed. Even though he was now distanced from her haranguing by pretty much all of time and space, thinking of those lectures could still push his buttons. "Really, Mom? Really? That's how they drop the atomic bomb?" Clearing his thoughts of the old argument, he looked at the ring again. A smile found its way back onto his face. This was an amazing tool. His mana hadn't dropped a second time when he invoked the ring, and he hadn't even needed to do a hand motion or a spoken incantation. He wondered if this would work for non-casters. It might be a way to arm his people with magic, even if they didn't have the affinity. Thinking about it, he also realized that it might be great for spells with a cooldown period. Summoning the power for another spell, he stored grease. He'd test it later to see if he could cast the spell back-to-back, once himself and once from the ring. The stone on the ring was now the color of a forest in summer. His experimentation was disrupted by Futon materializing in front of him. A quick command was all it took to identify the other two rings. The remnant flared white, and suddenly Richter knew the value of what he was holding. "You have found Ring of Enchantment Resistance. Durability 10 of 10. Item class, scarce. Quality, exquisite. Weight, 0.01 kilograms. Traits, plus 32% resistance to enchantment-type spells. You have found Inert Ring. Durability, 10 of 10. Item class, common. Quality, superb. Weight, 0.01 kilograms. Traits. This ring was enchanted at one point, but is no longer." The first ring answered why Sonore had been able to resist his weak charm spell. The ring almost evened out his plus 50% life mastery bonus. Who knew what other innate resistances she might have had? The inert ring was a mystery, however. It was clearly of fine craftsmanship, but it had somehow become unenchanted. It was a thick, silvery metal with what looked like a small ruby. Maybe he could at least hawk it for some spare change. Finishing his search, he examined her cloak. It turned out to be just simple cloth, and it had been torn and waterlogged from floating down the river. He did find one more interesting item tucked into a small pocket, though. It looked like chicken wire that had been bent, wrapped in on itself, and forced into a rectangular box. A latch could be seen on one side. At first, all he saw on his prompt was unknown item. Then he remembered reading about something in his lore book. There had been a small excerpt regarding a magician's interest in mechanical items to augment his spells. The magician had spent time with various artificers, and one had mentioned a similar item. That was enough for him to identify it. "You have found High Steel Spring Wall. Durability 411 of 411. Item class, common. Quality, superb. Weight, 5.8 kilograms. Traits. This box is actually a 15 by 15 foot wire mesh wall. When activated, the ball will unravel, and hooks built into the wire will latch onto any convenient surface. It will create an impromptu wall over a cave mouth or tunnel. The durability of the wall will need to be overcome before passage is once again possible. To activate, simply remove the latch." Richter looked at the object in amazement. Even though this world didn't have the science of Earth, they still did amazing things. He put the item into his bag. The last thing he had to figure out was which rings to equip. The Ring of Health from the Assassin was a no-brainer. The Ring of Enchantment Resistance also went on his hand. He decided to hold on to the Ring of Spell Storage, and his old Ring of Healing was also a must. He decided to re-equip his Ring of Flowing Thought and his Ring of Hidden Dangers. Staring at the rest, he decided to forego his Ring of Mana, especially since his new Ring of Spell Storage, in effect, gave him an extra spell. He slipped on two of his old Rings of Health as well, which brought him up to 8 rings. Richter marveled over how his body surged with increased vitality. He just felt healthier. Putting on his bracelet of health completed his equipment. He stood and then smiled grimly down at the now naked body of the assassin. She did have a nice pair of sweater bunnies, despite some of the burns, he thought. Too bad she was dead and a crazy psychopath, but come see, come saw. Richter gave a vindictive little grin as he turned away. Then, whistling the theme song to the Andy Griffith Show, he started walking upriver. It was time to loot another body.
Chapter 13, Day 93, Kuralt 12, 15,368 EBG. Richter kept following the river east. A small focus of his will made his traveler's map appear in the upper left corner of his vision. It looked like he had only floated about a mile downstream from where he had freed Tirad. He sent Futin ahead to scout invisibly. Alma, still somewhat tired, rested upon his shoulders as he made his way along the riverbank. While he walked, he pondered the mistake that had started this entire cascade of events. First, his maiming and death, then his hurried flight through the forest, and finally a life-and-death battle with two professional killers. How in the name of Zeus's butthole had he thought that the assassin was a level 6 nobody? Richter knew he wasn't crazy. There was no way that he could have misread his own prompt so horribly. He played over his first meeting with the woman again and again, but still couldn't figure it out. Richter finally allowed that he wouldn't find an answer out here in the wild by himself. Besides, his new tracking skill had made the world come alive. Minor depressions in the grass that before would have been overlooked now spoke of a rabbit that had run from cover, but not fast enough. A few scant drops of blood led to a nearby tree where Richter could see a hawk's nest. A crumpled leaf showed the passage of a large animal, and a small tuft of brown hair revealed that a bear had passed by a day or two ago. Richter didn't know how he knew these things exactly, but he was fascinated by the proof of life around him. Before he knew it, he had arrived back at the site of his battle with the warrior. He was so lost in his reverie that he almost stumbled into his own traps. The telltale red glow alerted him, however, and he was able to recover all four of the dart mechanisms. Then he walked up to Worven's body. The warrior lay just where Richter had left him. Alma threw her head into the air and roared, admittedly in a very cute and high-pitched tone, but Richter wouldn't tell her that. In triumph at seeing her vanquished foe. Orvin's face stared sightlessly up into the sky. The hours that Richter had been gone had been enough to bring scavengers. Luckily, it was only birds at this point. They easily scattered as Richter approached. One that had been pecking at Orvin's ruined throat stood its ground and cawed at him in defiance. That didn't last long, though. Alma cast weak haste and dove in. She hit the bird with a psi blast and then latched her jaw onto the bird's throat and grabbed its body with her four legs. A few beats of the dragonling's wings brought her prey over to a rock, and she dove into her meal with gusto. Richter gave a smile as he looked at the fate of the black bird. "Don't start shit, won't be shit," he said before turning his attention to the warrior's body. Futin phased into view and flared white, indicating that at least one of Orvin's items were enchanted. You have found Steel Kettle Helm. Defense plus 4, max plus 5. Durability, 35 of 50. Item class, common. Quality, above average. Weight, 6.1 kilograms. You have found Auriculum Splint Mail. Defense plus 23. Durability, 113 of 120. Item class, common. Quality, above average. Weight, 44.8 kilograms. You have found high steel ridged armbands. Defense, plus 10. Max, plus 13. Durability, 35 of 50. Item class, common. Quality, above average. Weight, 7.3 kilograms. You have found steel armored gloves. Defense, plus 9. Durability, 40 of 45. Item class, common. Quality, average. Weight, 4.6 kilograms. You have found high steel chainmail pants, defense plus 12, durability 37 of 40, item class common,
Quality, above average. Weight, 9.2 kilograms. You have found glass boots of shockwave. Defense, plus 10. Max, plus 12. Durability, 419 of 500. Item class, unusual. Quality, well-crafted. Weight, 2.1 kilograms. Traits, can cast shockwave by stomping your boot down. A ripple of force will emanate from your position, propagating through the ground. Chance to knock down anyone in the nearby vicinity. Uses, one per day. You have found Ring of Axe Wielding. Durability, 17 of 18. Item class, uncommon. Quality, above average. Weight, 0.01 kilograms. Traits, plus 4% damage with axes. You have found Ring of Health, times 4. Durability, 8 of 8. Item class, common. Quality, above average. Weight, 0.01 kilograms. Traits, plus 23 health. You have found Ring of Stamina, times 3. Durability, 8 of 8. Item class, common. Quality, above average. Weight, 0.01 kilograms. Traits, plus 26 stamina. The health and stamina rings didn't seem like anything special, but the Ring of Axe Wielding was interesting. Richter had never been an axeman, but if this ring existed, then it made sense that an equivalent ring existed for swords, small blades, and bows. He smiled. Now that would be something worthwhile. He'd have to talk to Crom about it. Orvin's large shield was impressive in its stats. You have found Steel War Door Shield. Defense plus 14, max 17. Durability 52 of 70. Item class common. Quality average. Weight 17.2 kilograms. The shield seemed to just be a giant slab of steel a little under an inch thick. Nothing fancy, but with that defense, it definitely got the job done. Weighing in at damn near 40 pounds, it better, Richter thought. His axe was even more exciting, though. You have found Moonstone Hatchet of Goblin Slaying. Damage 14 to 17. Durability 58 of 60. Item class uncommon. Quality, superb. Weight, 9.2 kilograms. Traits, plus 24% damage to goblins. Richter hadn't fought any goblins since winning his mastery of the Mist Village, but that didn't mean he wouldn't be fighting them in the future. Also, judging by Crom's previous comments, the dwarf would be delighted to make weapons that specialized in killing the angry green creatures. Orvin also had a pouch with a mix of copper, silver, and gold coins. All told, about 5 gold total, or about 500 U.S. bucks. Not too shabby, he thought. The warrior also had a collection of mid-level health and stamina potions, restoring between 40 to 100 points each. There were no other items of note, but every little bit helped. At least, that was Richter's motto when looting dead bodies. Everything went into his bag. Richter looked around and took stock of his surroundings. Alma had finished her meal of cocky crow and was now licking her claws clean. He loved a woman who took the time to make sure everything smelled nice. He kept scanning. The river continued to flow past him on the right and several yards down. A few birds called to each other, and Richter could see some squirrels scampering about in nearby trees. All of this happened against the backdrop of a soon-to-be setting sun. Also, the rain clouds that seemed to be common so close to the mountains were rolling in from the northeast. Richter decided to make camp for the night, and he remembered a large pine that should provide cover from the encroaching storm. With Futin moving ahead, Richter made his way several dozen yards into the forest. He could barely hear the river at that point. He smiled when he saw that his memory had not betrayed him. A tall pine stood where he remembered. Little to no plants grew for several feet out from its base, the heavy limbs blocking most of the sunlight from making it to the ground. The cover they provided should be more than enough to protect him from the rain. Richter walked over and sat against the trunk. His sated familiar settled into his lap. When he began stroking her scales, she gave a contented purr and closed her eyes. Richter sent Futin to scout the area. It was time to deal with the points from his new levels. Richter quickly scanned his status page. Seeing so many of his skills at 0% to next level made him grimace in distaste. He looked off in the direction of Sonore's body and glared for a few seconds. Wrinkling his lips, he looked back towards Alma and tried to calm down. He just really hated that chick. With a last forceful exhale through his nostrils, he felt his anger begin to ease. Besides, he realized, without having slaughtered the assassin and her friend, he wouldn't be at level 20 now. A smug smile crawled onto his face and stayed there. He had 75% of skill percentages to allocate. Though it didn't lend itself to being directly useful, he was tempted to invest all of it into herb lore. He was only 2 levels away from reaching level 40. The experience bonus of reaching level 40 in the skill was something worth considering. The only thing that held him back from doing so was the magic core in his bag. His enchanting skill had shot up after making the Forge of Heavens. If he got another increase after whatever he used the core to make next, the 75% boost would come in handy. Richter told Futin to remind him when 2 days had elapsed, though. About 4 days had passed since he reached level 17. He wouldn't risk having his skill boost randomly allocated. Futin answered with a deadpan, "Yes, my lord." Richter looked at his characteristic stats. One easy choice was more health. He put 6 points into constitution. His dexterity had been markedly decreased when exploring the catacombs without his enhanced sprite armor, so he placed 4 points there as well. One went into luck just to satisfy his precocious nature. Richter placed 3 into strength, a characteristic he felt he had been ignoring up until that point. He also put 4 points into endurance. There was a battle royale coming with bugbears. It would be just embarrassing to tucker out mid-fight and have to ask Bobby Boucher for a cup of water. He started to access his status page, and then remembered that he had recently been labeled implacable. Playing with his interface, he found the ability to turn on what were called qualities. He also found a way to turn off his skills section, which was getting gigantic. With his limitless ability, there was potentially no end to how long his skill list could get. Richter knew himself, and he knew that pretty soon just scrolling through his own information would annoy him. He brought up his newly adjusted page. Richter smiled with true joy this time. He'd take it. The next task was to level up his soul familiar. He continued to stroke Alma's scales. She had definitely earned it. The question was, where should he place the 7 points she had earned? Brain drain was definitely an option. Richter had absolutely no doubt at all that investing heavily in that skill had been the right thing to do. Alma would most likely still be at level 3 or 4 right now without having had the boost from draining her enemies. The fact that she was now level 14 also meant she had access to much more health, mana, and stamina than she'd had at her lower levels. Richter also couldn't discount the strong bonus of her being able to stun higher-level enemies. Yep, he just couldn't stress enough how sure he was that investing in brain drain had been the right choice. It didn't mean that it was necessarily the right thing to do now, though. It would be a bit myopic to just make her a one-trick pony. With 7 points to distribute, he had a bit of wiggle room. Richter placed 1 point into Psybond. You have chosen to increase your familiar's ability, Psybond. Your familiar's base innate intellect is increased by 25%. She can now communicate in 2-word sentences. Her intelligence and wisdom are also increased by 15%. You will also benefit from this stronger tie to your familiar. Your mental resistance has increased by 10%. Maximum distance of communication increased from 250 yards to 500 yards. Alma lifted her head to look at him.
Hello, master.
Her tone was happy, and there was a gleam and attentiveness in her eyes that he hadn't seen before. Richter had intended to place a point into Psyblast, but seeing the improvement in his soul familiar and hearing her voice in his mind, he was overcome with feelings of love and affection. He was also pleasantly surprised by the boost to his mental resistance. He immediately invested the 2 points required to level Psybond again. You have chosen to increase your familiar's ability, Psybond. Your familiar's base innate intellect is increased by 50%. She can now communicate in 4-word sentences. Her base intelligence and wisdom are also increased by 30%. You will also benefit from this stronger tie to your familiar. Your mental resistance has increased to 20%. Maximum distance of communication increased from 500 yards to 750 yards. You can now each sense if the other is in danger. The light in her eyes brightened again.
Master, Master, I understand more now. Thank you so much. I love you.
Richter's eyes widened in shock. He had never thought of Alma as just a dumb animal. Her ability to communicate and follow directions had always shown her intelligence. Having her express herself in a long string of words and hearing her express strong emotions, though, was something that he hadn't expected. He sat there for a second as he searched his feelings and he realized that he loved this little creature as well. He smiled down at her and thought fondly, "You're welcome, Alma. I love you too." She closed her eyes and went back to purring contentedly as he stroked her scales. "You are such a spoiled little thing." Her only response was to purr slightly louder. With a chuckle, Richter decided how he would invest the rest of her points. Though he loved the change in his familiar, and though he was interested in seeing how Psi Blast would level, Richter remained a pragmatist at heart. The best chance of her continual survival was for her to level quickly. He invested the remaining 4 points into Brain Drain. You have chosen to increase your familiar's ability, Brain Drain, to level 5. Successful kills will now give 5% of total experience to both you and your familiar. Drain occurs faster. Stun can occur on enemies level 21 and below. Now that's what I'm talking about, he thought. Being able to incapacitate anyone level 21 and below made her a force to be reckoned with. He examined her status page. His little girl was growing up. Richter laid his head back as Alma continued to purr in his lap. The rain had started to fall while he had been allocating points. Just as he had hoped, only a few drops of rain made it through the tree limbs. The sound of the rain around him was relaxing and comforting after the harrowing events of the past 2 days. Wrapping Alma and himself in his cloak, Richter closed his eyes and drifted off to sleep. Chapter 14, Day 93, Keralt 13, 15,368 EBG. When Richter opened his eyes, it was still dark. The rain had stopped, and the air was cool and wet. The trees were clustered closely enough that almost no moonlight filtered down to the forest floor. He looked around, seeing if he could detect anything, but all he saw was blackness. Richter cast night vision. He heard a faint thud. The noise was almost beneath his ability to hear, and that was when he realized it. Except for that faint sound, the night was completely still. There was no chittering of insects, no screeching of owls, and no croaking of frogs. All of the animals of the forest had gone quiet. The only reason Richter knew that animals did that was when a predator was in the area. Richter looked around but didn't see Futin. Sending out a mental call, he dislodged Alma from his lap. She didn't protest for once, feeling his apprehension. Richter duck-walked a few feet to the edge of the tree's cover and continued scanning. He heard another thud. Richter's heart began to beat faster. He thought the sound was coming from his front left somewhere, but he couldn't be sure. He wanted to start buffing himself, but didn't want the telltale flare of magic to give away his position. He was fairly certain this latest thud had been closer than the previous one, and he couldn't risk being seen. The only reason he had been able to safely cast night vision was that it was a spell of dark magic, and the blackness that had momentarily outlined his hands would have been impossible to see at night. "Do you sense anything?" he thought to Alma.
"No, Master. I fly into tree."
Alma launched into the air and up into the tree limbs. Richter continued to look around. His gaze fell upon a pool of water left over from the rainstorm. He heard another thud. A series of ripples disturbed the surface of the water. The small waves propagated and diminished in 1 second. Their disappearance didn't soothe him, though. Quite the opposite.
"Okay,"
Richter breathed softly to no one in particular. His nervous system was causing him to babble to himself in a vain effort to stay calm. So we all know from Jurassic Park that was an impact tremor, which means that something large like a T-Rex is coming this way. I totally agree with Jeff Goldblum now. Being fairly alarmed is an appropriate response to this situation.
Richter calmed himself, realizing that speaking out loud, no matter how softly, was most likely not a good idea at this particular point in time. He heard another thud, and the water rippled again. He hoped that the concealment properties of his cape would hide him. That brought his other options to mind, and cursing himself for a fool, he activated stealth. It was only fear and panic that had kept him from thinking of doing it immediately. He had to do better.
Richter kept looking around, still not seeing anything. He heard another thud, and this time it sounded a bit farther away. Richter exhaled softly. He just might make it through this.
"How can I help you, my lord?" Futin asked, phasing into view. His light was as soft as always, but in the darkness it seemed as bright as a lighthouse atop a cliff. It pained Richter's enhanced vision, and he shut his eyes quickly.
Richter saw the eye icon that had indicated his stealth status go from closed to wide open.
"Stay invisible and stay quiet," he hissed.
Futin immediately disappeared from view. Richter opened his eyes again, but his vision was still impaired. He blinked repeatedly to clear the spots that now floated across his field of view. Not trusting his vision, he listened, straining his ears. He didn't hear anything, though. Richter thanked God for small favors. As he waited for his vision to recover, he received a frantic message from Alma.
"Master, it's coming!"
"What is? What's coming?"
Something big. Something very big."
Alma sent him a vision of trees parting in a foretelling of the passage of something large and powerful. Whatever it was moving quickly. Richter started hearing thuds coming in quick succession, and they were getting louder by the second. His vision had finally improved enough to allow him to see. He looked back into the puddle and saw that impact tremors were shaking the water continuously now. This was bad. The time for caution had passed.
Richter held his bow in one hand and with the other started casting buffs. Weak haste, bark skin, and weak life armor. In less than 6 seconds, he was down almost 100 mana, but was faster, tougher, and better armored. Alma did the same. He then dismissed his night vision. Whatever was coming was big enough that his only hope would be to imbue his arrows. The explosion of light from when his strikes connected would blind him if his eyes were still overly sensitive to flares of magic. He cast far light a few times into some nearby trees. Then he knocked an arrow to his string and began imbuing it as he awaited whatever was about to attack him. Richter heard a crack, and a small nearby tree broke in half as a gigantic figure loomed into view. It was 20 feet tall if it was an inch. The balls of light illuminated skin that was dark gray and appeared rough to the touch, like a cliff face. It wore absolutely no clothing, and in addition to its massive stature, it sported powerful muscles. Knobs of black rock protruded from its body at random positions, and 3 spikes of rock jutted up from its head like a crown. Its body was human in shape, and overlarge genitalia swung freely between its legs. In one hand, it held a small uprooted tree. Counting the tree hanging between its legs, that made 2 trees. Trying not to be distracted or emasculated, Richter quickly analyzed it. Rock Giant, level 13, health 1,370, mana 80, stamina 1,840, disposition enmity. There are many different types of giants. Rock giants are solitary monsters, unlike other giants, which can have just as complex a social structure as average-sized humanoids. What rock giants lack in social graces, they more than make up for in ferocity, malevolence, and durability. Their skin acts like a formidable exoskeleton, blocking most damage.
Richter didn't have time to read all of it. He basically got the gist, though. He was absolutely, positively fucked!
Richter released his imbued arrow into the monster's face at no more than 10 yards away. The arrow exploded against its head, and it elicited a roar of anger and pain. The giant faded back a step.
Richter smiled for a second, but that quickly fled as the monster turned its face back to face Richter.
The arrow had only made a few cracks in its hard, rocky exterior. In the illumination of his far light spell, it smiled at him. Richter could see its pewter-colored teeth were flat like a human's, but it also had large fangs in both its upper and lower jaw. For a second, they just looked at each other, but then the giant flew into action. It swung its tree-sized club at him, and it was only his increased speed that let him drop to the ground. He felt the passage of the huge weapon as air ruffled his cloak, and a whistle split the air to mark its passage. Richter immediately rolled to the right and stood, which was a good thing. Any who thought that the rock appellation in the monster's name would make it slow would have been wrong. Dead wrong. Not overbalanced in the slightest by missing with its first swing, the giant swung its club high overhead. There was practically no loss of momentum at all as it cocked both of its arms back. Both of its tire-sized hands grasped the tree, and it swung straight downward with a mighty bash. Richter had rolled three times to the left. When he stopped, he was in a half-push-up. He immediately started scrabbling in an attempt to stand. Before his arms were fully extended, there was a scream in his mind.
"Move to the left!"
Richter did as he was told, not wasting time on petty things like rational thought. After all, what was rational about a Mandingo rock monster trying to crush him with a tree? He braced his arms for the briefest of split seconds and sprung left. The giant's attack slammed into the ground scant inches from where he had been when he heard Alma's warning. The tree sank 5 feet into the wet ground, leaving no mystery as to what would have happened if Richter had been beneath the fearsome blow. As it was, the giant's attack shook the ground. Richter had landed on all fours, and even in that position, he was knocked prone by the vibrations. He quickly tried to get his hands under him again, but he had left the dry area under the tree and was now lying in mud. In his haste, he failed to find a proper handhold. He slipped and face-planted into the earth. The only thing that saved him from becoming a Richter pancake was that the giant had driven its weapon deep into the ground and the sucking mud was resisting its efforts to retrieve it. Richter rolled over and got to his feet at the same time that he heard a slurp noise. The rock giant had liberated its weapon and was now reaching towards him with its free hand. Not knowing what else to do, Richter cast cloying darkness. The cone of thickened darkness enveloped the giant's hand and reached its body. The monster roared in surprise at having its vision obscured. Richter hopped backwards while pulling out his shadow high steel dagger with his left hand. He plunged the blade down into the giant's questing fingers. The special property of the weapon allowed him to ignore 10% of the monster's armor. Where his imbued arrow had failed, the dagger penetrated the gray rocky skin ever so shallowly. The giant pulled back its hand quickly as the creature grunted in surprise. Richter knew that he couldn't have done more than a few points of damage, but judging by the giant's expression, it was just confused by what had happened. It most likely had not been injured in some time. Richter stared at the rock giant while it stared at its hand. He slowly backed away, trying to put space between the two of them. Alma flew overhead, and Futon floated somewhere in the night, invisible. The giant held its fist above its face, staring, until a large oil-colored droplet fell onto its lips. Its smoke-colored tongue tasted the blood, and it finally realized what this strange sensation was. The little man had heard it. It roared louder than ever, and then fixed Richter with a vengeful gaze. All Richter had time to do was think, "Oh, shit." It ran at him. Even though it was now slowed by his dark spell, its large size still let it close with him quickly. Richter cast his hand forward and cast Charm, but the mineral composition of the rock giant's mind and body gave it a high natural resistance to the spell. The monster easily shrugged off the enchantment spell that was designed to target flesh and blood humanoids. He didn't have time to waste being disappointed. The giant threw a fist at him and followed it by what would have been a hilt strike if the tree it held were a sword. Richter dodged right and then left, bobbing and weaving like he was fighting Debo. He avoided both of the monster's strikes, but didn't see the rock foot that came at him afterwards. The giant had followed its first two attacks with a front kick. Richter was struck head-on by a rocky foot almost the size of his body and flew backwards more than 20 yards before slamming into the trunk of a large elm. Richter struck hard against the tree, his body a good 5 feet off the ground. He fell to the earth unconscious. The giant wasn't done and started charging towards him with its tree raised. It resolved that its next strike would devastate the creature that had the audacity to draw its blood. Once again, Alma saved her master's life. Buzzing in from behind the giant, she struck with Psi Blast. The monster roared in pain from the attack, but was barely staggered. The mental onslaught was enough to arrest its forward movement, though. She had only intended to halt the giant's progress. Her movements had purpose, and her actions were governed by strategy. This level of thinking would not have been possible before her master had increased his Psi Bond with her. She wouldn't let the giant hurt her Richter. Capitalizing on the scant second she had before the giant recovered, her spell-hastened body flew to her master. Blood leaked from his nose, and his shoulder protruded forward in a way that didn't look right to her. She cast weak, slow heal. His nose stopped bleeding, and some of the cuts on his face closed, but he still hadn't awoken. Alma heard the first thud of the rock giant's tread as it started back towards them. She didn't know what else to do, so she laid her snout on his forehead and invoked Psi Blast. Richter's consciousness had been nestling in a comfortable blackness to protect itself from the real-world trauma his body had just experienced. Her attack shredded that comforting cocoon and injected jagged pain into his brain. Though Richter would never remember this facet of the experience, his subconscious likened Alma's attack to a bloodthirsty koala kicking in his mind's door and then crapping a rainbow made of acid onto his most precious memories. Incidentally, this was also the moment that Richter began to have an irrational hatred of eucalyptus. He sat up with a scream, one of his fists slamming into his head in a vain effort to attack his own brain because it was hurting him so much. His other arm didn't seem to be working for some reason. He actually almost stabbed himself with his shadow dagger, which was inexplicably still clasped in his hand somehow. The pain was not at all helped by Alma projecting the equivalent of a mental scream into his head.
"Get up! It's coming! You have to move!"
Richter looked forward, conscious but still dazed, and saw a dark gray nightmare lumbering towards him with a roar issuing from its mouth. Barely able to comprehend what he was seeing, he reacted on instinct with his favorite spell, Grease. His hand shot forward, surrounded by a green glow. With an uttered word of power, his will manifested in the physical world. A circle of liquid the color and consistency of Thanksgiving gravy appeared on the ground in front of the giant. His aim was off, though. The rock monster was only caught in the edge of the spell's area of effect. One of its legs did crumple as it fell to a knee, but the rock giant maintained the rest of its balance by putting its weight on the leg that was not within the bounds of Richter's spell. It was going to keep coming, he realized with horror. His fear triggered a surge of adrenaline that jump-started his addled mind, and he remembered his new ring. Pointing his fist, he unleashed his stored spell. Nothing happened. Still staring at the monster that was almost back on its feet, he held his hand up in front of his face, shaking it in frustration. Why hadn't the bloody ring worked? His mind cleared more by the second. He actually looked at his fingers and, with a flash of realization, he had held the wrong hand forward. Motherfucker, he thought. Quickly correcting his mistake, he used his good hand to grab and raise his injured arm. The movement drove lances of pain through his shoulder, up his neck, and into his brain. Bile rose in the back of his throat and tears leaked from his eyes. When he heard his bones grinding together, he had to fight the sudden urge to vomit all over himself. He was able to raise his arm enough, though, and invoked the spell held in his new ring of spell storage. A second ring of brown grease appeared, and this time, both of the giant's feet were firmly in the bullseye. As it was already off balance, its other leg slipped, and then, with a loud crash, it fell to the forest floor. Its body was too large to be held completely with the spell's 10-foot AoE, though, and its arms were well clear. Richter knew he had only seconds. He had to run. Richter got to his feet, trying not to jostle his wounded shoulder. He was only partially successful, and more tears sprung from his eyes unbidden and leaked down his dirty face. He was preparing to run in the opposite direction to the rock giant when he saw something illuminated by the balls of far light he had cast before starting the battle. His bow. The only problem was that the rock giant was directly in line with his weapon. Not letting himself contemplate the stupidity of his next action, he started rushing towards the thrashing monster. His high agility let him cross the distance to the giant before it could react. He didn't have time to run around the grease that had a cumulative AOE of almost 20 yards, so he took the only avenue open to him. With Alma's disbelieving scream piercing his mind, he jumped onto the back of the rock giant, using it as a bridge over the slippery film. The giant roared in disbelief. As he jumped from the giant's back, Richter thought, "I'll give you something to yell about, asshole." Not looking back, he uttered a word of power and threw his hand backwards. A red glow enveloped his fingers for the briefest of moments before a gout of flame shot forth. The jet of fire ignited the grease that the monster was lying in, and for the first time, Richter heard it scream in pain. It was music to his ears. He didn't waste time looking back, but just collected his bow from where he had dropped it. He quickly shoved it into his bag of holding, the space-folding magic of the bag allowing the large weapon to disappear into a much smaller space. Then he ran off into the night. Every step shot pain through his broken arm, but he dared not slow, for he could already hear the thuds of the giant as it set off after him. Alma flew above, mentally shouting invectives at him. He felt like he deserved it when she called him stupid and dummy. When she called him pig-fucking-gyoti, though, he started wondering if increasing any female's ability to criticize him had really been a good life decision after all. Chapter 15, Day 93, Keralt 12, 15,368 EBG. Richter ran through the forest, his heart pounding. His shoulder was definitely dislocated, but thankfully nothing white and jagged was poking out of his skin. That did not mean that his arm didn't feel like a tic-tac box with shards of glass in it, because it did. His night vision spell kept him from running blindly into trees, but he was running fast enough that he still fell multiple times. The pain in his arm flared with every misstep, almost making him pass out a time or two. The sound of the rock giant crashing through trees behind him, though, always brought him back to his feet. He knew he wasn't running as fast as he could have because of his shoulder, so when he got a fair lead, he decided to do something about it. Running up to the trunk of a stout tree, he screwed up his courage. Giving himself a few test swings, he practiced slamming his shoulder into the tree, Lethal Weapon style. He counted off. 1, 2... A faint whimper escaped his mouth with the word 2. He didn't stop his rhythm, though, and with a mighty surge, he slammed his shoulder into the tree and said, 3! The pain that had felt like a constant horrible burn exploded like a supernova. Waves of impossibly hot plasma-like pain assaulted his consciousness and stars colored his vision. He dropped to the ground as an undignified and somewhat ladylike scream ripped itself from his throat. Looking over at his shoulder, which still protruded forward awkwardly, he wailed to the heavens, "Well, that didn't work at all!" Another whimper escaped his lips, but the sound of breaking branches and a heavy tread reached him, and he knew it was time to run again. Even injured, Richter's magic-enhanced speed exceeded the rock giant's, despite their disparity in size, so keeping ahead was not a problem. Unfortunately, this was a marathon, not a sprint. His endurance just couldn't keep up with the rock giant's relentless pace. Struggling to do so precipitated several near-death experiences during Richter's bleak flight through the dark forest. Once, he made the mistake of looking backwards to see how close the giant was. When he looked forward again, he slammed his face smack dab into a tree branch and fell to the ground, dazed. The monster's thuds grew ever closer, and by the time Richter was back on his feet, it was barely 10 yards away. As he started running, he had to dive forward because it threw its tree at him. The monstrous club flew wide, thankfully, and crashed into a stand of evergreens. The brush with death was close enough that it felt like his heart was trying to leap free of his chest and put just a bit more space between it and the giant. The pain in his shoulder had flared again when he hit the ground, but his adrenaline let him keep going. Richter got back up and kept running, with the disappointed howls of his pursuer driving him to greater speeds. A second time, the rock giant put on an unexpected burst of speed and made a swipe that caused Richter's cape to furl from the near miss. He only saved himself by blindly throwing himself down an embankment. He rolled faster and faster until he landed with a bone-jarring, breath-stealing thud. As he fell, he heard the rock giant tumbling down the slope after him, no more in control of its descent than he had been. His breath had exploded from his lungs upon his landing, and try as he might, he couldn't get back up immediately. As he worked to inflate his chest, he expected to be crushed any moment by a giant rocky hand, but it didn't happen. When he could finally breathe again, he looked over and saw the giant flailing about. Its incredible weight had driven its legs into the ground up to its waist. It struggled and strained to free itself from the mud. Still laying on his back, Richter began to laugh, no more than a few yards from the giant. No more than a few yards from what he had come to think of as death incarnate. It wasn't just the absurdity of the situation that brought on his temporary insanity. It was also that his shoulder had struck a large rock while he was bouncing down the hill. Amazingly, the collision had driven the bone most of the way back into the socket. Even partial relief from the constant, excruciating pain was enough for him to want to celebrate. He laughed in weak sputters, as the air in his lungs still wasn't up to the task of a full chuckle. Getting back to his feet, he gave the giant the finger. There was no way the monster could have understood exactly what the gesture meant, but it obviously still took it as an insult. With a mighty roar, it put both hands on the ground and pushed. One leg came partially free.
"Gah!"
Richter exclaimed. He extended his hand and cast charm again, and he tried troubled sleep, but the enchantment spells had no more effect this time than the last. The giant had one knee up on the ground now and was straining to free its last leg. Richter screwed up his face and gave it the finger again before taking off once more. He ran as far and as fast as he could. Initially, he tried to head east, but fallen trees and irregular terrain made that impossible. At one point, he had to turn north and then west as a sheer rock wall loomed in front of him. He would stop when his stamina began to deplete and move forward at a fast walk. During these times, he tried to consult his map and come up with a game plan, but the giant was never far behind. How it tracked him, Richter had no idea, but even though he continually gained a small lead, it followed him unerringly. When he could hear the snapping of branches, he knew it was time to sprint again. While he sped through the night, all he could think about was surviving and not falling. In-depth examination of the map was impossible with his breath coming out in wheezes and lava circulating in his legs. He just kept running. Richter burned through the stamina potions he had taken from Orvin over the course of the night. He tried to space them out and just let his stamina recover naturally, but the rock giant's pursuit was as sure as taxes. The lead he obtained with his greater speed was never enough to replenish his stores when he rested. He was forced to drink the green stamina potions with greater and greater regularity. Only 2 stamina potions were left when he noticed something out of the ordinary. His new tracking skill had let him notice signs of many creatures during his flight. He was down to his last 2 green potions when he saw a track that caught his attention. The footprints of animals glowed ever so faintly. It would never be enough to see by, but it made it much easier to first find and then follow their progress. These tracks glowed as well, but a touch brighter than the others he had seen. There was also something familiar about them, though he didn't know what. With no other option presenting itself, he decided to follow the trail. Richter only paused for one moment to determine which direction the tracks led. The creature's prints had claw marks on one end, so he followed that direction. It led him north and east, which was generally where he wanted to go anyway, so he took it as a good sign. Any thoughts of things getting better faded when the giant caught sight of him. The creature roared. Its footfalls came faster. A quick analysis showed that it had more than half of its stamina left. Cursing, he took off again.
Fuden!
He panted. A disembodied voice answered, "Yes, my lord." The fact that the remnant was able to keep pace without feeling the agony Richter was living through made him hate Fuden just a bit. He pushed that down, though.
"Look ahead and see if there's a place for me to hide. Come back quickly."
Richter heard another, "Yes, my lord." After that, nothing, so he assumed that the gray orb had moved off silently to do as he was bid. Alma